Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is March 12th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. It is Sunday. Whose idea was this, Brian?
I don't know.
Well, I think the problem was you worked too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I think it was like, it was me.
Yeah. Well, sometimes that happens. I'll be like, we record on Mondays and Wednesdays. That doesn't work. I'm like, okay, well, how about Sunday?
Well, yeah, that's pretty much Saturday and Sundays are my only, I won't say free days, but they're my more lenient days.
You're not as locked in.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Well, listen, I love doing podcasts on Sunday. I just didn't realize it was going to be the end of daylight saving. Is it the beginning or the end of daylight savings time? And literally the end, too.
I think because it's literally the end of it. This is the last.
I think they're not going to do it anymore, but does this start daylight savings time or is it the end of daylight savings time? I don't know what it's called, but we lost an hour, so we had to all get up a little earlier this morning, but that's fine because it's beautiful, and I was excited to have a conversation with you guys.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of excited, too. I was kind of nervous at first. I was like, I don't know what to expect, but I don't know. I talk in front of people all the time, so.
Yeah, well, it's fine. We're going to just have a chat. I mean, friends with Rob West. So you are Brian Jones. With us also is Robin Dorman. How are you, Robin?
Good morning. I'm good.
Oh, you sound great. Listen to that. That's awesome. you guys are both part of the Make a Difference Coalition. You guys do a lot of the photography and the social media, you know, getting the word out, getting the message out in the way you like, I guess. Or did you say, do you just take the pictures? Who's has the final decision on what goes out and how it goes out?
So for the most part, I don't say I have the final decision. I'm the one that makes the post.
Yeah.
I make the post. I kind of set up everything media-wise, marketing-wise. Me, Rob, and AJ, as you know, kind of started Making a Difference. And we all have our own separate roles.
Yeah.
So we kind of figured that, hey, instead of them trying to take on everything, I'm more of a social media person from my own photography thing. That's just something I'm used to, something I can handle. So we just made it that much easier. So, but I would say if there's something questionable, I'll ask them first. Yeah. Hey, do you want me to post this? No, I want me to post this. But overall, it's kind of a team thing, I guess you can say.
It's such a funny time. You know, really, no one used to think about it, but now it becomes particular about what we can post. And
yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously, you don't want to post anything too crazy, but just the littlest things can upset people, and you really—it's a challenge. So you got a lot on your plate to handle all that. But the Make a Difference Coalition. We got the big bat. What's it called? The Ballers Classic.
So it's called the Ballers Classic.
Yeah. And it's March 25th.
Yep, March 25th at Cape.
Cape.
Six games. First game starts at 9:45, I believe.
I did see. I'm not gonna look for it, but I think I saw, maybe somebody can find it, but I saw the for the weekend, someone had posted it on Facebook for all the games.
Yeah, so the first game starts at, I think it's 9:45.
Yeah.
And that's the eighth grade, call them the junior ballers, because that's pretty much where they're going to start. You know, the Ballers Classic itself originally only started as two games, and then we realized, hey, there's way more talent out here than we can fit in two games.
Yeah.
This is the fourth year itself. So this is the fourth year. First game, like I said, is at 9:45. Second game is the Ladies Ballers Classic, which is the girls, because believe it or not, Delaware and Maryland both have phenomenal girls basketball talent.
Yeah, I believe it.
So,
Salisbury?
Yep, Salisbury. Yeah. Pretty much this side of the bay.
Okay.
You know, this side of the bay doesn't get as much exposure as everywhere else. especially Delaware. Delaware in general doesn't, unless you live upstate and you have that limelight up there, I guess you can say. You know, everybody says downstate and they think Dover. You know, that's
I don't know if they still do the slam dunk at the beach, but mm-hmm. that used to be sort of a big deal. I remember, I don't hear as much about it lately.
They still do it. It's definitely not what it used to be.
Well, I think that's a little bit of an old... I mean, that's not eighth graders, I don't think, is it? Yeah, that's a little older.
That's just all strictly high school teams.
Yeah.
Where the Ballers Classic is players from all, you know, from just about all the different schools. You know, their top players all put on one team. So it's pretty much like big all-star teams.
Okay.
So it's kind of top talent playing with top talent.
Who's involved in setting those teams up?
So we have like a committee of guys.
Okay.
That, because it's one thing, me, Rob, and AJ, we couldn't handle that. There's a committee of guys that know local basketball. They know the talent. They go to games and basically scout for us the entire year, which is kind of good. You know, that takes a lot off of us. But there's a tremendous amount of games weekly. There's just no way for all, you know, us three to cover them all. So there's, I don't know how many is in the actual group of them, but I know they go around to so many games and watch, and it's kind of funny because people ask us, you know, hey, why didn't my kid get picked, and we're like, we honestly don't know, because it's not something that we, you know, have 100% input in. We put all the trust in the committee guys to make the decisions for the game and make them competitive. I'll put it like that.
That seems probably like a pretty smart idea, because you don't want to be in charge of everything.
No, not at all.
Because then if something's going wrong, that means it's your fault.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, no, I think it's a good idea. Have it spread out. Have different people doing different things. That way you're, you know, not spread too thinly and missing something.
Yep. And it's something that they like doing it. They, I don't say they have the time to do it, but they like doing it. They know what they're looking for. Instead of just, you know, go to watch a basketball game, you know, they'll go to watch, you know, individual people, individual players. So,
well, that
they know
way,
what they're doing.
Yeah, because we do live in a world now that people are very sensitive. And if your child doesn't get picked, I get a little upset. And you have experts that are in that position that can explain exactly why.
Yep.
Sometimes you're just not good enough.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yep. I mean, everybody's kid is good in their own eyes.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, even my son plays sports, and is he the best at some of it? No.
No.
No. Is he the worst? No.
No.
But I understand it. I mean, I played sports. You know, I understand the aspect of it, so.
Well, you just like to see participation, right? And just try to hang in there.
Yep.
You know, sometimes the least ideal situations create the best character.
Yeah.
In the times where you just are... You don't want to be the main character, I guess.
Yeah. Yep.
That's well, I think it's awesome. I am going to go with my son. I'm taking my son Sam, and he's in sixth grade, going to be in seventh, and he's excited. I'm excited, so I'm looking forward to it.
It's a good. Have you been to it?
I've never been.
It's nice. It's fun. It's a long day, but it's fun. It's fun.
Hopefully, we can make it the whole day. I don't know. We'll see. What's that mean? Long day, like from 8 to midnight? Because I'm not going to make it.
It's a 6 games is a lot of games.
Yeah.
But it's almost not enough, because we could still probably, we could eventually want to make it a 2-day thing. And there's enough talent to make it a 2-day thing, which would be really be a long day. But it's,
that would probably be like 6 games each day.
We could probably do it. Yeah.
Well,
be a lot on us. But that's ultimately kind of where we want to get to eventually. I mean, this is the only the fourth year we've had it.
Right.
So, and the second year here at Cape. So.
Well, I could see, like I said, I haven't been, so I'm excited to see how it goes, to feel the flow of the day, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if we'll make it all 6 games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, we're going to do our best, but man, it's a lot of basketball.
It's a lot of basketball, yeah. By game 6, it's like, okay. Home stretch.
So is it break down to like a tournament? Like there's a final winner of the 6 games?
Nope.
Or it's just 6 teams or 12 teams having some fun playing basketball?
Yep, pretty much. And it's Delaware versus Maryland.
Okay.
And a lot of the players never, like any of the kids from Henlopen never get to play any of the Bayside teams. Oh. And we're an hour, 45 minutes from each other.
Okay.
But the talent never gets to formally play against each other because, like, Cape doesn't play against Stephen Decatur, or Sussex Central never plays Y High. So top talent never gets to see top talent in a for real game setting anywhere or any time, I guess you can say. And they only live, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes from each other, but never get to play against each other.
What? So. How many teams was in this last year? Same? Was it a full day of basketball?
Yeah. 12. It was still a full day last year.
Six games?
I don't think we had six. We had five games last year.
Five games.
Yeah, we had five games last year. Last year was the first time we introduced the eighth graders and the girls basketball.
Okay.
So now we have the eighth grade team plus two girls games.
Okay.
On top of the boys games.
Is there a rivalry that started last year that was continuing this year? Will we have a rematch of anything last year? Is it, or is this just a brand new set of teams, set of feelings, and let's just have a...
For the most part, it's a brand new set of... It's a brand new players.
Okay.
Just about. There may be a few here or there that played again in it last year. The Delaware South, Maryland South, seems to be kind of a rivalry thing that's kind of brewing.
Okay.
The games have came down to, like, last-minute shots past 2 years, I think it was. So that right there kind of, you know, kind of puts a little bit of an edge on it.
Yeah.
But as far as the players from last year and this year, there's some that are the same, but not everybody.
Well, that's cool. So it's a new set of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yep.
Let's talk about the photography. So, you know, I've always laughed. I'm like, who takes pictures at sporting events anymore, right? Because it's just so many phones and so many opportunities to capture something. Until a great photographer with a great camera catches a great scene, just like a great photographer does, then you're like, oh, photography still lives in sports. And which is great because, one of the things about the iPhone is it is hard to catch action shots. Mm-hmm. It's almost impossible unless, I don't know, they'll probably get better, but... So how'd you get into shooting sports and getting to be part of this? You and Robin. Robin, right? You're also a photographer.
Yes.
So I've always been into cars. Everything cars. And I like photography. I've never really been a huge photographer. I remember going on a field trip when I was younger, and we went to Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go to the mall and everything, and I bought a little disposable camera, like $6.
Okay.
And used it in like 10 minutes. And I was like, okay, I need another one.
Pull that mic up a little farther so we can make sure we hear
you. How's that? A little better?
Okay. A little better. So we just want to make sure we hear you.
I gotcha. So I used it in like 10 minutes. And I was like, oh, I need another one.
Oh, you went through it.
And I went into another one. And
nice.
Before I knew it, I had a whole little bag of disposable cameras. And then I never got them developed. So I have no clue where they are. But then... You know, years and years go by, and I really started getting back into cars or getting in the cars. So I was going to car shows and was going to, you know, racetracks and stuff. And I said, I'm going to go buy a camera and see, you know, I'm sitting up in the stands, see if I can get a picture further down, you know, with a different camera. Because, you know, with a phone, you couldn't do it.
Right.
So I went out and bought a camera, went to the racetrack, you know, started taking pictures walking around the track and the pits and everything. And one guy from a race team started following me on Instagram. And I was like, oh, okay. And he started tagging other people. You know, as I was taking pictures of the race cars, he started tagging the pictures of the race car, you know, the owners of the cars. So I said, okay, maybe I have something here. So I just started going, you know, all the time and taking more of the pictures. And then Robin actually started really liking one of the cars. And it was the guy that started following me. So... We kind of built a friendship, a relationship with them at every event. You know, we'd make sure we stop and say hi to them.
Nice.
And then it just kind of evolved from there. You know, I started posting more pictures of different teams, different cars, different things. And then I kind of wanted to know what it was like to be like a media person.
Yeah.
You know, to get access to go down on the starting line and everything like that.
In the pits.
In the pits and down on, right on the track. And I said, well, let me try this. And I applied for, you know, media credentials at one event, and I got it.
Nice.
And I said, oh, okay, let me see what this is about. And then it opens up a whole new world of a race event that, you know, sitting up in the stands, you never really get to see.
Back in the day, I had a friend of mine who's since passed on, but she used to get us credentials for NASCAR for the weekend from an infield care doctor that used to be able to get us some press passes. Nice. And it was a pretty special weekend when we got those passes, because you're really going into places most people don't get to go. Mm-hmm. Now, that would be, we did that for probably 3 years, and then I don't know if you remember the weekend when Tony Stewart got in a fight with the cameraman down in the pits, and then they all of a sudden eliminated these pit credentials, and I was like, damn. What was once a good thing ended, but man, it was a lot of fun. We got to meet, I mean, I met Dale Earnhardt, Bill Elliott, I mean, all Dale Earnhardt Jr., everybody. Jeff Gordon. It was prime time in NASCAR back then. Mm-hmm. Those were the good old days, and so I got to experience a lot of cool stuff, so I know that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool to see the behind the scenes stuff. You know, everybody thinks that when you're sitting up in the stands and, you know, there's a wreck or there's something like that, that everybody's just kind of lollygagging around.
Right.
But for the crews and for the racers, if they're in the middle of fixing something, hey, that's an extra 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Which in that world is a huge amount of time. Or if you're a driver and you're about to make a pass, you're still sitting in your car. You're like, you don't get to get out of your car. You're already strapped in. It might already be 100 degrees outside, so it's 120 in the car.
And you're maybe 220.
Yeah, and you're just in your full race suit, and you're strapped in, and you've got nowhere to go. You're just waiting.
So. Well, I'm a big fan of racing. We used to go up to Dover, and if people remember, back in the day, it was the NBNA 500.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to sit there and have a few beers and enjoy some sunshine. But 500 miles at Dover is
a
long day.
Yeah.
I mean, people start dropping. Like, I remember literally sitting down and a guy, and this, you know, this is 96, right? Back in the day. I mean, this is before, you know, social media where we see how everybody behaves, but people would just be dropping next to me, pop, falling over drunk, and I'd be like, wow. Yeah. So they ended up taking 100 miles off of that, so now I think it's the NBNA. Well, I don't know the sponsor of the race, but it's a 400-mile
event.
Yeah.
I went to...
it's still long, though.
I went there in high school.
Okay.
I went to Sussex Tech, and we went there for qualifying one, you know, as a field trip.
Usually takes place on Friday.
Yep. Yeah. And we got there, and the first thing you want to do is how close can you get?
Yeah.
And we went up the steps, and we were like, oh, okay. And we went all the way down, as far down as we could go. And, like, three cars went by, and we were like, okay, this is that's way too loud. It's way too fast. And we turned around and was like, all right, guess we're going up. You know, that wasn't – at that time, that wasn't for us. That was faster than we were expecting.
I think NASCAR was one of the only sports where farther away is better, yeah. Not closer.
Yeah,
and the worst part is, and we used to go on qualifying too. So that's when we used to get the. I think we had the press passes for Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday. I don't know. We probably had them for Sunday. It was probably for the whole weekend, but we would definitely go for qualifying because you could see all the drivers. Mm-hmm. And when you're in that infield, because the way NASCAR sets up the car is it has the exhaust pointing inward.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you think it's loud initially, you should see if the actual pipes were pointing out. They're all pointing in to point all the noise towards the infield. And my God, in there, you can go insane unless you have headphones. And then, you know, it used to be kind of like, whoa, and you'd hear the car kind of half a mile down.
Yeah,
you know,
distance coming off a little
yeah,
bit.
But after a while, they're all spread apart. It's just constant noise. You're like, ah, so.
It's the same in drag racing.
Yeah,
it is the exact same. Every car, when they're doing their burnouts, some of the exhausts are, as a photographer, you kind of learn whose exhaust is where and where you do want to stand, where you don't want to stand. Because I've been, I mean, probably 8 or 10 feet away from a nitro car just blowing nitromethane right in my face. And you just close your eyes, kind of frame your shot in your head, and just hold down the shutter and just let the pictures go. Then once it's done, you know, you kind of look at them and wipe the nitro off your glasses and go again. And your eyes are watering. And, oh, see, my eyes are watering even thinking about it.
So who do you sell your pictures? Do you just, is this just something for fun? You pass them on, so trying to help out?
I've sold them. I've sold them to teams. I've sold them to different racers, different companies. Pictures are on a couple different websites, you know, companies' websites, on T-shirts for people. It's kind of just mainly helping for exposure.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of import, and it's mainly import drag racing. So, you know, everybody thinks drag racing, you think, you know, Mustangs and Camaros and V8s and everything. We're more of Honda, four-cylinder, more of the import racing, which doesn't get
those
as
annoying
much.
Cars.
Yeah.
Wheels turned out.
Some of them.
I know.
But they're
cool, but they do get a little extreme, and they can be a little whiny.
They do. There's a difference in the two, but you can definitely tell the racer side of it and the everyday street.
So maybe that would be more like that O2, what was the unauthorized?
H2O.
H2O, the unauthorized gathering of cars.
Yeah.
In Ocean City, which I think they've moved that now somewhere.
Yeah, it's kind of moved and dissolved out some, but it's still,
Ocean City did not care for people happens. Having unregulated gatherings
things.
Of cars.
No,
you know, they
not
do
at
not
all.
Care for that.
Not at all.
They put a stop to that. Well, that's cool. So where are the racetracks? Because is there one in Georgetown?
So there's one. The ones we go to drag race wise, we go to ATCO in New Jersey. We used to go to English Town in New Jersey, Maple Grove up in Pennsylvania, Maryland International, or MIR, over in Buds Creek is kind of what everybody knows it as.
It's a big motorcycle tournament, too.
Yeah. Yep. So those are the main tracks we go to on a yearly basis. I mean, we're there a few events every year, which is fine. We go to Del Mar, you know, the usual.
Right.
I said the usual stuff. But more of the bigger events are at the bigger tracks. We always kind of try to go to at least one new track a year or one new event a year just to kind of see what it's all about.
Sure.
I know this year I think we're going down to Virginia.
VMP.
Yeah, down to Virginia Motorsports Park.
VMP.
Yep. That's a good friend of ours is debuting his race car. He's been kind of testing it here and there, some of the smaller events, but he's local to that track. So we're going to go down there, help support him. And
have you seen any Teslas racing?
In person, no. I've ridden in one that was
racing
ridiculously fast.
Was it the Plaid?
It wasn't a Plaid. It was a little Model 3, or it's a little Model 3, but it is the performance one. And it's been turned up. It's kind of like a comfortable golf cart. Is kind of what I was seeing it as.
It is interesting because I have watched some racing. The Tesla racing sort of caught my attention just because, you know, there's something funny about a guy in a big motor car and getting beat by a battery car and just watching sort of their reaction. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I've watched some of it, and like if the car goes too fast, they're like, no, you can't race here.
Yeah.
So they have to play this sort of little game where they're not that fast, but
they're fast enough.
But I'm fast, and I got to let off the gas, or I'll, you know, get thrown out of the race park.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting.
Yep, and that's kind of like the weird rules for every event, you know, for every class, for every track. You know, you can go there and you can have the fastest car on the street, but does it fit in all the rules to be the fastest car on the track?
Right.
There's a huge difference between the two.
Well, I think you need to, your safety equipment might change at a certain speed. I mean, if you excel, if you're going to go 100, I forget the speed that he was going. It's 170 miles an hour. Does that sound?
I mean, that's fast.
That's pretty fast. Maybe it's 150. But I don't know.
Even at like certain speeds, like you said, certain rules take into accountability.
Yeah, like if you're going to go fast in this, you need like a full roll cage.
Yep. You got to have a parachute or.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So there's a bunch of rules for it, but I mean, it's for safety.
Of course.
That's the main thing.
Yeah, no.
It's for the drivers. And
no, I'm not implying that it's not important. It's, I'm just saying there's a game these guys play trying to figure out how to race each other without.
Within the rule book, I guess.
Yeah, within the rule book. It's.
But they're. Being in the automotive field every day. The battery thing is, it's coming.
And I'm not a big fan. I got excited early on. I was like, ooh. But I want, listen, if I get an electric car, I want the S and I want the Plaid and I want, you know, everything. Yeah. I don't want the 3.
You want all the bells and whistles.
Yes. I want this awesome, the one I can't afford. That's my burden I bear.
They're growing on me. I'll put it like that. You know, I have to learn about them every day at work, it seems like, because they're coming. You know what I mean? There's no denying that they're not. But then actually riding in one, I said, oh, okay, this is not what I expected at all.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
Anything fast he likes.
Yeah, anything fast I like.
I think I would like it. It's just my problem is I have 3 kids, you know, and we need, you know, if they had, you know, I drive a Jeep Grand Cherokee. That is the perfect car for us. It has enough room. I wish I could fit, like, I'm into e-bikes. Mm-hmm. I wish I could fit my e-bike somewhere on that thing, but... To me, that's a perfect car. If Tesla could figure out a car
to do that,
yeah, and you know, the X is a little bit the X. I don't know, just not quite there.
Yeah, it's
not a little expensive too.
I think until there's a really good off-road electric car, I think when somebody figures that out and that comes out, that's going to be a huge game changer. Because right now they're just, I won't say commuters, but they are. But until you get, like, I know Jeep has, like, one of their Wranglers is going to be all electric. Like, that's going to be, like, that's huge. That's a big deal changer.
I was watching something. This guy, I guess he had the Hummer, and he plugged it in, and it said it was going to take a week to charge at his house. It was like, it literally, his car was going to be done charging, like, the following Friday.
It's like a slow charge.
Yeah, it was a slow charge. That thing's huge. You know, I'm not sure people realize, you know, those Hummers and... The big vehicles. Yeah,
the big SUVs are going to take a little... I think they still have to figure them out. Tesla, for sure, has got the cars figured out.
Well, Tesla did something smart right in the beginning. They built in the infrastructure. They built in the charging. They set that part up first.
Yeah.
And if you don't buy a Tesla, you're subjected to the other charging.
Yep.
And I'm not sure it's as good. I've watched a few things about... Especially when the Rivian came out, because I was interested to see, you know, what it would be like as a daily driver. And when you are on that vehicle, I don't know, is it American Standard? Do you know the charging? You have the Tesla group, and then who's the other group that does the American Charging? I forget
what they're called.
But you're basically, that's your deal. And they're not as... up to their game is Tesla, I guess, a little bit. I don't want to badmouth anybody, but it seems like if that is a choice you go, the amount of wattage it puts out can change.
And they're still figuring it out, but I think once everybody figures it out, then the sky's the limit then.
I just saw Royal Farms just put in a whole bank of Tesla chargers.
Most of your gas stations are now.
Yeah, Rehoboth. Yeah. Well, Wawa had capitalized a little bit early on, but now with Royal Farms Tesla.
So I think Royal Farms, I mean, Tesla's got them everywhere, which makes sense. I mean,
well, they tend to maintain them a little better. I don't think you pull up to a Tesla or a Tesla charging bank and they're all out of power. That seemed to be sort of what happened with these guys trying to travel from
I would just be kind of, I don't know how you want to put it. I'd be kind of worried about taking like a longer trip. You know, because that's
kind of worried. I'd be freaked out. That's
like
that's
even if
charge,
even if you kind of plan it out where you have to stop and charge, like if it takes 20 minutes, you know, that's 20 more minutes on your drive. It only takes 5 minutes to pump gas,
right?
And keep it moving. So,
no, I agree. And that's in a Tesla. Minutes? If you were in a Rivian or one of these Ford Mustangs or one of these other e-cars and you go across country, and that's sort of the part that's annoying for these. The folks I was watching was it's, you know, you get in the car and it says, all right, you have this much charge. This is your next charging station. This is how long it's going to take you to get there. Should take you about this long to charge and you'll be on your way. Well, then they pull up and that charger doesn't work.
Or
somebody else is using it. And then you have to use a lower one. And it's like, well, this is actually going to take 2 hours, not 30 minutes, 2 more hours. But you can go shopping, right? And you're like, oh. So.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I think they, once all that gets figured out, and I think eventually there'll be like a gas station that's just nothing but chargers.
Yeah.
You know, with a convenience store there. I mean, that'd be kind of cool. I think that'd be that's the way to go, I think. Yeah. You know, where you can have 6 or 8 or 10, you know, quote-unquote stations.
I personally think you should be able to pull up and just the whole battery pack gets removed and replaced.
Put back in.
And yeah, with a different battery pack. Keep that one charging. How you doing? Keep it moving.
It's kind of like you do RC cars.
Yeah, exactly.
Always got one charging extra.
Well, it's like cameras, right? I mean, yeah. We had the mechanical cameras, and now you got an e-camera.
Mm-hmm. Or the mirrorless. Yeah. Yep, the mirrorless cameras.
Well, the battery. I mean, the you're not twisting and winding. Yeah. What is your favorite? What do you like to shoot with? What is for let's say so for like the Ballers Classic? What will you be? What's your arsenal for the getting the job done?
Everything I have now is all Canon.
Okay.
I had Canon. She was using Nikon because I got a good deal on a Nikon, and we're kind of bouncing back and forth between the two. And then the quality of not really the quality of the pictures, the coloring difference.
You could see the difference between the two cameras. Yeah,
you hey, could Robin. Definitely see the difference.
Hello.
It's so quiet over there.
I pretty much switched us both to Canon because if she had a question with something or I had a question with something, it's way easier when we're both shooting the exact same bodies, almost everything the exact same. I can say, hey, I took this picture using this setting. Try that.
Would you rather have a picture that's a little bit more vanilla and allows you to put the color in? Or is that what you're saying? It had too much color?
The color profile was a little different.
Okay.
Nothing bad about it at all.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, it's kind of hard when, you know, we would be putting up a whole album for the Ballers Classic. And one was shot with Canon, one was shot with Nikon. You would definitely be able to see the difference between the two cameras. And well, I was like, it's not really uniform, I guess you can say.
Well, some people are like, oh, you know, you put editing into this picture. You know, it's like if a person doesn't know how to really do photography, they get all pissed off about people that edit.
That over, right? Yeah.
It's because they don't know how to edit. Mm-hmm. I said that's half the fun and skill,
yep,
to me of taking a great picture is the editing.
So I don't over-edit.
Right.
I kind of like putting it the exact same way you would have seen it if you were there. Now, will I kind of over-edit some pictures? Yeah.
If I now, think when you say like over-edit, you mean like oversaturate?
Kind of really make the picture look unrealistic. Right. I'll put it like that.
Yeah. Those are the best.
I kind of, and some of them are. Some of them are like, hey, I really want to, like I said, I really want to overdo it on this. And I do it, and I'm like, wow, that is actually really good. But in my brain, that's not what I would see if I was right there capturing the same moment. So I kind of like to make it more of a natural look.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's to me, it's more fluent. It's what you would see if you're a track. It's exactly what I seen at the track at that moment or at the Ballers Classic at that moment in time.
Yeah, I can imagine at the track, I mean, oversaturating a picture is probably isn't the most important thing. Mm. I would imagine just capturing the shot.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's funny editing and saturating and different things that you can do to different pictures. It's sometimes I'll just take a picture and, like, I just use my iPhone. Mm. But, like, I'll hit that little magic wand, right?
Yeah, and let and it kind of do it itself.
Just, you know, change it. And you're like, oh, that's good. And then you slide it a little, you're like, oh, that's good too. And then you slide it a little more, and you're like, oh, well, that's good. So it's hard to really determine what is good. Mm-hmm. At some point, you're just like, oh,
yeah, it's
putting
like
it out there. Let it go.
It is what it is. I know editing, taking the pictures is fun. By 100%, it's fun. Editing is going back and recapturing the exact, you know, the day. But then the editing part of it is horrible.
Let him do the editing.
Yeah, I do all the editing. I sit in front of my computer and I just look at 1,000 or 2,000 pictures and it's like, do I really want to do this?
Did you need so many pictures? I mean, can you take half the pictures? Is that part of the problem, do you think? You're taking too
yes and
many?
No. Yes and no.
Because that happens
and then there's
to
been,
me.
There's been some where I'm like, we definitely, like, we would go to an event and we wouldn't take, you know, we've only taken 200 or 300 pictures. And then we get back and we're like, wow, we really didn't take anything at all. Like, we missed this or we missed that. But then I have some and, you know, I go to empty my memory card and it's like 2,500 pictures. I'm like, oh, my God, did I really need all these?
Right.
And I go back and look and it's literally waiting for one thing to happen. So I'm just constantly just holding down the shutter and it's just click, click, click. And it's just constantly going off.
Yeah.
So
Oh, I know. Like a burst of pictures.
Yeah, it's like 9 of those 10 pictures are the exact same thing because the car didn't move, but I was anticipating on it to move, or I was anticipating something, and it never happened. I'm like, well, delete those 10 because it was just a waste of a second.
So. Yeah. Do you, my friend Tiffany and I, we do another podcast, Full Throw with TNT, and she's a photographer. Do you know Tiffany Caldwell?
Yep.
She's so good. But sometimes she will shoot with film. And I love it. I love shooting with film. I love the stuff that I just love the richness to it. I love the slightly imperfection in it. You know, you would think it would be better, but it's so good. Do you ever get to do that?
So nothing with film, but we went to Hawaii last year, and it was for my cousin's wedding, and they had disposable cameras on every table. You know, to go around and take pictures, you know, and you give the camera back to them. And I was like, oh, this is great. Like, I'm going to take this little disposable camera and see what I can do with a disposable camera. Like, I've never really thought of doing it. Yeah. So I was, like, kind of framing up pictures and everything with it. And then they took it. And I was like, I didn't get to see any of the pictures. So I don't know what any of them came out like. Like, that's I kind of seen it in my head. And like, wow, this should be a really good picture. And then I walked away, and where do I go? I went somewhere. I don't know if I went to the bathroom or what, but it was gone. And I was like, oh, somebody took my camera. So
they collected them for the they collected them so they can have them developed for memories.
I was going to take it.
Yeah, I've been to a few weddings with those. Yeah, I was going to take it. I know that some people have done some things with those. You never know what you're going to get when you start developing those.
I was like kind of excited about that. I was like, framed up a couple little things on the table, and I'm like sitting there and looking at my mom. I was like, what are you doing? I was like, leave me alone. I'm in my
house. It puts it in a different perspective when you don't have the big camera with the screen that you can actually see what you're shooting.
Yeah, like you have no control over your picture for the most part. You know,
Settings now.
So it's kind of like you can frame it up and then you take the picture, and I guess that was good.
Well, it was a pretty good system back then. I mean, it allowed you to, you know, wonder and be curious to what sort of pictures you would be getting back.
Yeah, now and look at it, it was like, wow, what was that?
You can remember the excitement when you would go pick up your packet of pictures and you'd open it up and you'd have one good one out of all of them.
Yeah, or the disappointment.
Yes.
But it was, you know, that was part of the whole thing. And now... we're just gluttonous with photography.
Yep. Now it's just like you look at it and you take a picture and you look at your screen and you're like, oh, that was horrible.
But you can fix it with editing.
Yeah, and you can fix it. Or you just retake the picture.
You know what I've been into lately is that I have this AI app. It's I forget what it's called, but it's basically an AI, right? It's just, I think, oh shit, my camera. But I take pictures and then I run it through this AI app.
And
it does cool shit to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm like, is that, I mean, the AI thing's like is a touchy situation,
it's
right?
It's getting a little weird.
but it's still art, right? It's still, I took the picture and then the AI kind of adjusted it. I had this whole idea. I was going to make these postcards of kind of cool spots that are around this area that have, I took the picture, but then sort of ran it through the AI machine and to see what it produced.
And see what it would do.
And it produced some really cool shit. I was like, ah, man, this would be good. But then I was like, oh, what's that over there? Something else more shiny. Forgot all about it.
One of my guys at work, he's really big into the AI thing And he took a picture, you know, out in the shop. And he came up and he's like, look at this. And I was like, what'd you do with that? And he was like, watch. And then he took another one. He's like, going around the shop, and I mean, it was a good 10 minutes of us not doing anything, but walking around the shop, taking random pictures, and him running it through. And I was like, all right, yeah, we gotta stop this. Like,
well, it's interesting because it gives you like 9 different sort of platforms to, you know, like artistic, dreamy, whimsical. You know, it's just big filters, I guess you could call it. But and then you can kind of determine how much AI you want in the picture from anywhere from 0 to 100%. And I've done some pictures, especially like out on the Junction Breakwater Trail, and then ran them through the AI. It's sort of crazy. Yeah. They put buildings, the creatures out on the... I mean, all of a sudden, there's this creature out on the path.
It's like Pokemon.
Oh, my God. What is it? Yeah, like Pokemon or something. Yeah. But I know a lot of people, you know, they're like, that's not art. It's like
Art and photography, it's in the eye of the... Not the beholder. What was it? it's in the person itself. Yeah. I mean, I can take a picture. I mean, all three of us can sit here and take a picture of the exact same thing three different ways. Mm. And 100 people will like it and 100 people will hate it. But it's the exact same picture, just three different ways. You're never really going to get the answer that you want every single time. Just the way the world is.
I also think it's about how much you put out. I mean, yeah. You're putting your stuff out there and you're building a following. People are going to love it. I mean, I know, what's his name? Elliot. Oh, do you know McGuire? Elliot McGuire? I forget. He's a local guy, but he's always working, right? He's always putting out great photography, always putting out great work. Mm-hmm. And he gets a lot of people, I mean, he'll put out a picture, thousands of people like it. And I'm like, I've done that picture.
Yeah.
I mean, I get three people like mine, but I also don't spend my whole day promoting myself as a photographer.
Yeah.
So it's really just being involved and out there.
It's kind of weird. I think a lot of it has to do with timing. So last year at the track, I pulled out my phone. You know, I was in the middle of taking a picture, and I pulled out my phone, and I just did one video of a car doing a burnout, and I posted it right then, and it went crazy. And I'm like, you know, I'll take a picture, or I'll put a video up of this, you know, in 2 hours, and nothing happened. But I did it right then, just not really thinking about it, and it went crazy. And it's one thing I kind of tell Robin, I'm like, hey, take a picture with your phone. Like, we walk around all day at the track with, you know, using our cameras, and one of the best cameras we have is actually in our pocket. Yeah. I'm like, hey, take a picture with your phone and post it. You know,
so it was Elliot McGuire. I want to make sure I got his name right, because he's been on the podcast. He's a great guy, great photographer. Phones are awesome.
Yeah, the cameras on phones now are ridiculously
good. I sent you some pictures. I think I sent you a couple pictures.
Yeah, you sent me like sunset picture with some deer in it.
Sunrise.
Oh, sunrise. Yeah,
but
the opposite of sunset.
Yes, it's sunset.
Yeah. But people say, "Oh, I love all your sunset shots." I go, "I don't take sunset pictures. I take sunrise because I don't have good sunset angles." Right?
I never really thought about that.
Yeah, sunrise.
Really get a bunch
there
of
is a
sun-
good place to get sunset down in Lewis.
Okay.
If you go,
but like behind the rudder.
In Lewis, it's down.
Oh, Lewis.
The one if you go down by
Roosevelt Boulevard, or not Boulevard.
Roosevelt Inlet. If you go down there, and I think it was more in the fall or late summer, you can get the sun going down, and you can get Roosevelt Inlet in the background.
Ooh.
And that's one of the first, like, really good pictures I took.
Okay.
And now looking at it, I see how much better I've become as a photographer, because now I could go down there, and the picture I take is probably 10 times better than that first one.
Well, it's all about, you know, I run in the mornings. I run at 5:30 in the morning, you know, when the sun comes up. And
it's way too early.
People are like, you are so good at photography. I go, no, I'm good at getting up at 5:30 and being there. Because I always say, if you're up at 5:30 standing where I'm standing, anybody could take an amazing picture.
Yeah.
So it is half the game, is trying to be at the right spot at the right time. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, camera and all
that. And then kind of anticipation, too. You know, if you kind of know what you want to take,
yeah,
kind of ahead of time, and you can kind of, this is going to happen. Like, we went and did, what was that eclipse we did at Rehoboth, like, a long time ago? It was, like, one of those early...
It was
early,
a few years ago. It was
I don't remember what kind.
I think it was a solar...
It was something with the sun coming up, and there was an eclipse. But there was, like, we were there, like, 5-something in the morning, and it happened. There was, like, a ton of people there, you know, with their cameras and everything, and... You know, drug ourselves out of bed and went there and took the picture, but we knew it was going to happen. You know, just getting there and finding, you know, getting everything set up, and then you just wait.
Well, that was
like, okay, there we go, perfect picture. And you take two of them, and it's like, all right, we got up 5:30 in the morning for this.
Well, that was sort of my question I was going to ask, is that do you, when you go to an event, do you have sort of an idea of what you need? Like, we need to make sure we get these shots.
Yes.
Does that sort of keep you from having... 10,000 pictures at the end of the day.
It does.
Have an agenda.
He and I talk on our way to the track, and we're friends with a lot of the teams. The photography has really made a lot of friends for us. So we always talk, hey, let's get this team, because we don't normally see them or we don't normally take pictures. So we always try to focus on a couple of the cars that, you know, we don't normally see.
Sure.
an event,
yeah,
or that we haven't really taken photos of before. He has shots in his head before we even get to the track that he wants,
yeah,
of a certain car doing a certain burnout, or we know the certain cars when they launch they'll do wheelies.
Well, yeah.
There's certain shots that you know the certain cars are going to do. So he plans that out on our way to the track.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I don't want to say I plan it ahead, but I know the classes. So I know, okay, hey, these are like the nitro cars. When they come up, they always throw big flames out their hoods or big flames out the side. So you kind of like wait on that. And it's like, all right, I know one's coming, and you kind of wait and wait and wait, and it's like, all right, frame it up perfect, and then they don't do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, great. But
no flame.
But Robin actually, and we figured out it depends on the side of the track you're on, too. So she took a picture a couple years ago of a friend of ours' car. He's from Connecticut, and it was a nitro car, and I was on the opposite side of the track. And when he kind of like revved it just before he launched, he let off of it and shot like an 8-foot flame out the side of it.
Oh my God.
And I mean, you don't know when it's going to happen. You kind of think you know when it's going to happen, but she got the picture. I mean, the flame is huge sticking out the side of it. And it wasn't until I was home looking through the pictures and I was like, oh crap. Like, hey, come look at this. She's like, what? I'm like, you got that shot. I mean, and that picture went, like a couple other people took the same exact one, but the amount of people that got the opportunity to be that close and get that exact shot, I mean, it's limited. It's one that I didn't even get.
Right.
And I'm like, I remember that, but I was on the other side of the track, so I didn't get the cool picture.
It is funny that being in part of a community like that, and, you know, it's unspoken, I would imagine, but yeah, it's like, you didn't get the shot.
Yeah. I look at some of like her pictures, and I'm like, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Like, I got this one, but, you know, I was on the wrong side of the track for that. And I look at hers, I'm like, hey, come look at this. And she was like, what? And she comes in, and I was like, that's your picture. And she's like, really? Like, yeah, I didn't get it.
It was probably a few years ago. I was down at the beach taking pictures, because I do. I'm not a photographer, but I take a ton of photography. I mean, I'm into it. I never want to do it as a job. I just enjoy it. And I did buy a new camera. I think I bought a Nikon. Mm-hmm. And I'd taken it down to the beach. It was early in the morning, and there was a Mennonite family that was down there. And I was just down there standing at the beach, standing at the water's edge, chatting with this old man. And I think he was a Mennonite. And because they drive, right? I think that's how it works.
Yes.
And so they had the big van. But it was this big family, and they were all down. And they had walked down to the water's edge. And I was talking to this old guy. And I said, well, listen, man, have a great day, you know. And he's like, you too. And so I just sort of took a left turn and started walking up the beach. And then I just kind of looked back, and the whole family, he was here to the right of the shot. And then it was all these women. I don't know if they were his daughters. And then the older lady must have been his wife. But I just turned around and just squatted down and grabbed the shot, right? And then sneaked out of the area.
Yeah.
Because apparently they do not care to have their picture taken. So, shame on me. But I didn't know that. But the picture is so freaking cool because it's him and his daughters, and then the mom who sort of has her hands up to the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of these.
So, it's kind of like a candid picture. And we kind of do the same at racetracks. So, in between rounds or whatever, we're walking through the pits. And you'll see, you know, like a team rebuilding their motor or rebuilding a transmission. And, you know, a lot of people don't really think that's going on in between rounds. But we'll sit there and we'll take pictures of them because they're dead in their element. I mean, they're 100% concentrated on what they're doing. And then you go back and you take the picture of them and they're like, man, I didn't even see you come over there. I was like, I know, because you were in your moment. You were in your element. We didn't stop you. But, you know, this is what you look like.
That's sort of one of the coolest kind of pictures that you can get is when you're like, oh. Yeah.
Walking through the pits and seeing them, you know, either just hanging out and lounging because they're not really doing anything, or some that are really, really wrenching on their car trying to get it fixed before next round or
desperately
or whatever.
Or seeing the team, like the team car come back and he had just run a great pass and he gets out of the car and all the his teammates come over and are hugging him and they're all like having a good time and congratulating him, and you get those pictures.
Yeah.
They are like one in a million pictures for that team.
No, I think that's and people, you know, when they're not really paying attention and they have somebody that does grab a picture of that moment, they're very appreciative. They're like, "Wow, this is very cool. I didn't
I have a picture of a friend of ours. He was in the staging lanes and he was literally just leaning up against his car. And he was, you know, talking to whoever, and it was kind of the same thing. I just turned around, I seen him leaning up against it, and I just bent down and snapped the picture. Didn't really think anything of it and walked away. And then went back and looked at it. I was like, wow, that was actually a really good picture. I mean, he's just basically just leaned up against the car with his feet crossed, you know, just talking to whoever.
Yeah.
And I have another picture of another guy, a friend of ours who actually passed away. And he was one of the drivers, and he was the same way. You know, he's just leaning on the car, just kind of looking off into who knows where. And I took that, and going back and looking at it now, it's like, wow, that was one of like the last, you know, pictures I took of him.
This is a this is sort of that picture. I know it's hard to,
really cool.
But it's been run through a filter. I ran it through this other dumb filter. So, but that's you can see sort of how it laid out.
Yeah.
And this was the mother, and these are the daughters, and then the dad was right here. And it just had this cool spiritual moment, man.
It's like the candid ones are the best, I think, because they're 100% unplanned. They're more than likely not going to happen again.
You know who I have? I'm excited. Next week, you know who I have coming on the podcast?
Who?
Kevin Fleming.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
I'm excited. I've been trying to get... I love his photography. I think he had done some of the greatest stuff around this area. Mm-hmm. I was telling him yesterday that I want to share a story with him on the podcast, but how I lost one of my drones because I was trying to get this Kevin Fleming shot. And it's the shot of I don't know if you're familiar with his work, but he has a picture of the yellow spray plane going across the fields with the spray, but it's spiraling off the wingtips.
Nice.
And I think he got it. I think he did the shot with I think he was in a helicopter when he did this because they didn't have drones back then.
And so the drone, my drone. I mean, I have. I don't know how many drones are.
Three. I don't know.
I think I have three of them. She doesn't.
How many is more like, working because you haven't crashed them?
I've lost two.
So how many are any good?
Yeah, I have one that's right now that's currently flyable. No, there's two, but the one right across from where we live. The when the guys are out there with the combines, and I'm like, I want to get one from the drone from the top, you know, looking down on them because you don't really see none of the lines or anything, like just looking at it. Like, I want to get that picture so bad, and I kind of planned on it last year, and Robin's like, hey, they're going to be, you know, picking stuff tomorrow, da-da-da. I'm like, oh, great, I'll come home from work and do it, and I came home, and they were already done.
Like,
oh, I got to wait, like, I guess a whole year. I was like, can't do it this year. Then I'm like riding around looking for like other fields. I'm like, I wonder when they're going to do that one. I wonder when they're going to do that one. Then I'm like, they're going to do it while I'm at work. And I can't tell my boss, hey, I'm not coming to work today because I want to go take this picture of a combine in a field. She's going to be like, no.
Well, it's funny because, you know, like right from where we are here on Cave Neck Road in Route 1, across the street in that field, they will do, like every year, you know, they pick up, I don't know if it's hay or grass or wheat or whatever it is, but they bale it up in those round rolls, right? And so you'll have, you know, one week you have a full stand of whatever it is, right? And then they come in and then they cut it and bale it, and then you have lines. One year they came in and they put blocks of this stuff. Like, they didn't roll it up into the round rolls. They put them in these squares. And they fit right in the box in the line. And I was like, oh, shit. So I did do that. I took my drone out there. I got the lines. And they had, but it was like one day of these square, you know, whatever it was. But it was this square texture that laid in the field with the lines in the back of the trees and the blue sky.
Like perfect.
Yeah. And it was a clear day. So there was a ton of depth. And you're like, holy shit, I got to get this. And then you come back and they're picking them up. And you're like, well, there went the shot. That's not the shot I wanted.
I've seen for... when I was first doing photography, somebody said, take your camera with you every day. Mm. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, I go to Hell work. Yeah. I'm not taking my camera with me every day. And the next day, I'm riding, and there's a huge eagle.
Oh, yeah.
Just sitting in the field, and he was eating, you know, who knows what. But, I mean, he was only a good
scraps
20 feet off the side of the road. And I'm like, if I had my camera, this would have been, like, a perfect picture. And I'm like, mm-hmm. next day, I'm like, all right, take my camera with me. And then nothing for a month. I was like, I'm just taking my camera with me for no reason now.
That's right.
And I left it, you know, left it home. And the next day, it was like a nice sunset on the way home. I'm like, and I give up on this. Like,
do you think you paid attention because you didn't have your camera?
I don't know.
I see a real pattern here.
We do it on the weekends when we're going to run errands. And if we know that we're going to be out for the day, you want to take the cameras? No. And then, you know, then 2 hours later, should have brought the camera.
Yep, and it's like, too late.
Listen, I think there's something, there's a real thing about having an iPhone camera or a you know, a smartphone, because mm-hmm. I take a ton of pictures. If there's something that I really think is great and that, or maybe a mirrored lens, something like that would give it a little more justice, then I would plan that out. But for mm-hmm. the most part, unless it's like a moon or something fast, you know, if it's like fast action, iPhones aren't going to do the job. If it's like a moon situation, yeah, iPhones aren't going to do the job.
I would say a landscape thing or stationary stuff. Phones are great for it. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't try to shoot my son's hockey game on my cell phone. I've tried. It doesn't work. No. It doesn't work.
No.
I tried.
Well, exactly. So, you know, definitely the right tool does the right job. But it is, I am a huge fan of photography. That's my phone. I'm surprised it's even alive because it's so full of pictures.
Yeah.
But it's the best. I love it. Mm-hmm. It's so cool.
It's definitely, phones are definitely a game changer. Mm-hmm. I know I took a picture out in Hawaii and I took it with my phone. You know, I was just standing up. I was like, oh, I took it. And then we're going to get back on the plane and, you know, it was like, you know, thanks for visiting. Come again. Da 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 da. And it was like the exact same picture was on the little tunnel, you know, to get on the plane. It was like the exact same picture blown up right there. I was like, I just took that exact same picture with my cell phone. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and then I look at it on my phone. I'm like, this is, you know, what you would see as a postcard. Like, I took that with my phone. Like, that's, I would never have thought that, you know, going from a flip phone with a crazy pixelated camera on it to this. And I even tell her, like, when we're looking at phones, I'm like, hey, listen to this. And I'll tell her the specs of the camera on the phone. Or the camera that's on the phone. I'm like, this thing has got better, you know, more megapixels than our big cameras.
My favorite camera that I've ever had is a Sony, I think it's an A1. Am I right about that? It's like a digital camera with mm-hmm. a mirror. So you can, it's got the little pancake lens and it's got a little telephoto lens. And this camera was, I still have it. The problem with it, what happened is that Sony changed the app that mm-hmm. they used to. Like, I used to take this camera, I could run with it. So it was a full body camera, but it was kind of flat and I could put it on, it had a strap and I could put it around my back and it sort of fit between my shoulder blades mm-hmm. and I could run and it didn't have big floppy lens. It had this like pancake lens on it. So mm-hmm. I could run and then, you know, as the sun came up, I could grab it and take some good shots with that. And then it had this awesome ability to download the pictures that you took right into this app in the phone. And mm-hmm. then I could edit everything in my phone, and then they were all in the phone,
mm-hmm.
right? I didn't have...
Didn't have to go through none of the computer
right. stuff. And they've gotten rid of that app. That phone, that camera was so awesome with that app. I literally could take... It was just like having the iPhone. I just clicked it. I just link into the app, and then it would transfer all the pictures. And I could, and then I had all these cool things that I could add to it. It was the greatest camera. And because I think the challenge with cameras is carrying the freaking things around, right? Yeah. And these big lenses. Yeah. And you're like, maybe I'll just take my little camera.
Yeah, they are definitely heavy when you have the camera, the battery pack, and a long lens.
Yeah.
And a huge lens. And then you're carrying it around for what? How long were we at tracks for? 12 hours.
Jeez.
Carrying around this thing all day long. But time is like, my arm is just dying from carrying it. But I don't know. It's the fun of it. It's part of it.
No, I'm not saying
that. Between
that
and the walking, you know.
It's great exercise.
Yeah, it's good exercise.
Well, I think you sort of talked about it. I mean, there's a lot of camaraderie, a lot of people. You become friends with the teams. They start looking. Mm-hmm. Did you get that shot? You catch that?
Yep. And then we kind of follow the certain teams that we know we'll help them out. You know, where some of the index racers, you know, they don't have the huge sponsorships, but they're really consistent.
They want to see pictures of their cars just as much as the pictures of the bigger teams.
Yeah, the pro teams. So we'll kind of, you know, we'll cover for a bunch of them. And
to see their face when you show them a picture of their car is worth it, yeah, because absolutely. Their eyes just light up and they're like, oh my word, that's my car.
Yeah, like yeah. I never thought my car looked like that or anything.
Well, if you catch somebody's car shooting a giant flame out the side, I'm sure they're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep. And they're like, hey, how much for that? Or can you send me that? Or I want to repost it or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Like, it, you know, it is what it is. So if it helps them out, it helps me out.
That's the tough part, trying to figure out how to charge for stuff.
Yeah.
That is a tricky thing.
It's kind of, so we get asked a lot about doing weddings. I'm like, no, I'm not doing, I've done, how many weddings have we done? Three.
We've done three.
Yeah, I'm not doing another one. You've got to be a really, really good friend of mine and really, really.
And actually, it's been friends that we've done the weddings for.
Yeah, and I'm like, I can't do weddings. Yeah. And then they're like, well, how much are you going to charge to do a wedding? I'm like, I don't know. You know, and I look at, and I ask other people, like, how much do you charge to a wedding? And they tell me, I'm like, no, that's.
Well, because you love it.
Way too much.
You love taking pictures. It's like, how do you charge for something you love doing? This should be like a pain in the ass.
That's really kind of like our. My thing, it's for me, it's more of the fun. It's not about the money part of it. You know, I 100% could care less if I make any money on my photography.
Right.
Like, it's, to me, it's fun, gets me out, gets my mind going. It's definitely something different than work.
Yeah, you don't get paid.
Yeah.
We just have made so many friends, and, you know, it's more of a social thing for us.
Yeah. Well, it's like this podcast. I don't make any money. This is just for,
it's just fun.
For chat and, yeah, it's, and having
for
fun.
For exposure.
It's fun.
Well, and anytime you try to make any money, there's a ton of people out there that do not want you to.
Yeah.
And they're going to do everything they can to.
That's where it gets very tricky.
Yeah, it's annoying. And we become so self-censored
it's
now.
It's the way the country's become.
It's fine. I mean, it's, you know, be that way, I guess. But it doesn't pay to try to make any money at these things.
Yeah, it's definitely a different. It's a different mindset. Yeah. You know, it puts you in a different mindset. Like she said, we take the cameras with us. If we go out, you know, just to run errands, hey, let's take the cameras. And then you'll see something perfect. It's like, oh, yeah. May never, ever look at that picture again. But
well, I do feel like if in a 25-mile radius from where we're sitting right now, we have pretty awesome area for taking some cool photography. Yes, whether definitely. It's the beach, right, or the marshes or the woods. Mm-hmm. Or the racetrack, or whatever it is, there is a lot of great opportunity out here.
We are in a great location for that.
Great location.
Yeah. I've told her, I'm like, hey, you know, and it's somewhere that you would never even think to be a picture. I'm like, it'd be kind of cool to have a car, like, sitting right here, and, you know, when the trees are like this and like this. And she's like, yeah, you're right. And then it never happens. But in my mind, that picture is always there. I mean, there's one that I want to take that's literally 3 minutes from our house on the back road.
Yeah.
And there's nothing special about it, it's just on the back route. But if you put a car a certain angle or the trees are a certain way, it'll be a great picture. But well, it's just never going to ever get it.
Well, that's the other thing, is that people get so upset about editing. And it's like, the reason they're upset is because they don't know how to edit.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to edit.
Yeah.
I mean, you can take, you know, I run with my buddy James, and we've always run the Junction Breakwater Trail. And anytime there's a puddle, I'm like, you want it? I'll take it. And, you know, you get down on your stomach, right? Mm-hmm. And you find that angle that allows you to grab, like, some sunrise, some trees, some reflection. And maybe in the picture, it's, like, you know, very small. It doesn't take a lot of the shot up. But, you know, edit it in. You know, bring in the borders. Crop it in. And all of a sudden, you've got this amazing picture.
If people thought of the things that they see in a daily basis that is 100% picture worthy, like, it would blow your mind. You know, like, I'm always looking like, wow, that would be a really cool picture if I put it this way. That'd be a really cool picture. Like, all day long, that's running through my head.
Yeah.
I mean, whether I'm, you know, at work and a car comes in, it's
you're tortured.
Wrecked. I'm like, wow, that'd be a really cool picture sitting like that. And everybody's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, nothing. I'm just talking to myself.
He took one random picture. It was at my family's old farm, and they had picked the corn. So the corn was all cut really, really low, and it was a piece of wood, but it was like a little knot, and he got real low to the ground and took this picture. And it is like one of my favorite pictures he's ever taken.
Yeah.
Any normal like walking through the field probably would have never seen that actual picture.
Or kicked it.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, there's been a couple that I've taken. I'm like, wow, that's actually a really cool picture. Mm. Then I've taken some. I'm like, that didn't come out nowhere near the way I thought it was going to. Like, that is horrible.
We were coming home last night from my in-laws, and I had that moment. I'm driving. I got the reflection in my rearview mirror, and in the rearview mirror reflection is six lights from the street that are lined up in the rearview mirror with the sunset. I'm like, if I could just figure out how to get that picture right from here, and just it's like, but some of these pictures are impossible.
Yeah,
I saw this.
You just see it, and you're like, oh, that is a perfect picture.
Like the one downtown you took of the Zwanendael Museum. We went walking that night. It came out. He took it as a regular picture, but when he took and changed it to black and white, it came out as the best, but almost spookiest. Looking picture.
Made the whole museum look like haunted. Like, you're like, I'm not going there.
Yeah.
I'm like, it was all bright.
But it was not a planned picture. He just was taking a random picture. And then when he took and changed it to black and white, it completely changed that picture all the way.
I did that's the cool thing to me about photography. I did this whole series. I'm like, take a picture and then turn 180 degrees around and take a picture of what's behind you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have the two. This is my shot. And what's directly behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you know, if you can, it's funny because you're like, wow, this looks like Africa, right? This looks like China. This looks like some Japanese garden. And then you turn around and there's the outlets.
Yeah. I mean, there's a shopping cart right there.
Yeah, the retention ponds behind the outlets, I used to get the best reflection shots out of there until they started building those hotels. And then I had this picture of a tractor on a mound, and then I ran it through the AI, and it turned it into a hut. It was like, I'm on a trip.
I took some cool ones of my son. So my son plays ice hockey.
Cool.
And a bunch of people never knew we did photography because we wouldn't take the cameras to the games. I'm like, I got to figure out the game first.
Yeah.
Like, I got to learn the game before I start taking pictures. And now that I know, like, I don't say I know the game, but I've learned it.
We can follow it.
So I can follow it. So I can anticipate more now. So now, like, his last couple games, you know, we've been taking them frequently and taking some of the pictures of the players, and I sent them to my son. I'm like, hey, check this out. And he was like, whoa. And he sends it to two of his friends, and then they're all, like, sending me messages on Instagram. I'm like, hey, do you got any more pictures of me? I'm like, I don't know. Which one are you? And, you know, I'm figuring it out. And they're like, wow, I never knew I'd look like that. But my son's as tall as me. And, I mean, he's on the 18U team, so... He's way shorter.
He's fast.
Yeah, he's fast, but he is small.
Yeah,
for his size, you know, for his age. But then you put him with like other players, and they're, you know, a foot and a half taller than him. And I'm like, look at this picture, and then look at this picture, and he's like, wow, I look really short. I'm like, well, you are really short, but like in this picture, you can't even tell because you're out there, you know, laying a hit just like anybody else. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he loves it, and I love taking pictures of him. I did when he was younger. And he was playing baseball. I took a picture of him, and he's full swing. He had just hit the ball, so the ball was still in the frame.
Wow.
But, I mean, he was full swing. So I showed it to him, and he was like, wow, that's really cool. So I went and got it made into a poster. And I rolled it up just like a regular poster and was like, gave it to him for
Christmas.
It was Christmas, I think it was. And he was like, what's this? And I was like, sign it and hang it up on your wall. Like, you know, you have other... You know, Pokemon, you have other things that you love, you know, hanging on your wall as a poster. Like, hang this up. Like, this is just as good as any other athlete, you know, taking a hit or whatever. So he was like, at first he didn't really get it, but then he's like, oh, yeah, this is kind of cool. I'm like, yeah, like, there's the ball. Like, you're in your element. You never, this is what you look like swinging the bat. And he was like, wow, that's actually really cool.
And that's awesome.
As far as I know, he still has it. Probably. Maybe.
Well, listen, do you guys have a website? Like, if people want to follow you, or what's your Instagram? Because we could do this all day.
Yeah.
And definitely. I know you got better things to do. So I want to make sure we get the important stuff out there.
So we don't have a website.
Okay.
Main thing is like my Instagram. It's at DDS, like dog Sam.
DDS 302. 302.
Yep, that's my Instagram. And the same on Facebook.
DDS302. Mm-hmm. Those are for both your Facebook and Instagram.
Yep, Facebook and Instagram. And then Robin's is whenever she posts.
You normally post all my stuff.
I post our stuff, too. Yeah. So that's the easiest way to find all of our stuff.
And then I'll see you on the 25th at the Ballers Classic.
The Ballers Classic.
And your cousin, Sean, is that your cousin?
No.
Brother?
Nope.
Friend?
Friend.
Okay. Friend. He was saying that they you can't buy single game tickets. You can only buy a day pass, a day ticket.
For $20. I mean, $20 for six games. I mean, that's
pretty freaking good.
That's really good.
And these are the best of the best, these kids.
Yeah.
My son is excited.
We've got, I'm trying to think, some of the Bayside, like, player of the years.
Okay.
Coming, I mean, on the same team.
Nice.
Same team. But they're coming. Last year, you know, we had Delaware player of the year. We have the girls Delaware player of the year, Emma. She just won that, like, last week. Or earlier this week.
Wow.
She'll be there. So it's pretty.
It's a lot of talent cool. for high school.
It's a lot of. It's a lot of talent.
And even the eighth grade has a lot of talent coming up.
Yeah.
We're excited. My son's very excited.
It's a lot of talent in one gym.
It's a lot of great energy.
Mm. Yeah. One gym in one day. It's a huge amount of talent.
Oh, very cool. So, well, I'll see you guys there.
Yep.
Thank you for coming on the podcast. Appreciate it.
This is fun.
Yeah. You guys come back. Because I feel like, I think we just started to find our groove right there in the photography stuff. Because that's our fun activity.
That's an unlimited, topic.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I think anybody that takes a picture that looks pretty good, they all of a sudden get a little photography going on. Yeah. And that's what the cool thing about photography is.
And it's in the air. It's in everybody's head. They just don't realize it.
Yep. Well, listen, guys, thank you very much. We'll post this today and come back sometime.
Cool.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks.